Well, this morning we are going to begin again in the Gospel of Luke. If you've been around here for very long, you know that we have been studying through the Gospel of Luke for the last 6 years, little bits at a time, a few months at a time. And so we've made our way up to Luke chapter 17, and we'll be looking at that in just a few minutes. Now, never before in the history of our country have people been more blessed with money and possessions than they are today. We've never been more blessed with money and possessions. And yet, it is also true that people have never before been so ungrateful for what they have. One commentator noted, "Apart from perfunctory prayers of thanks at meals, no one would ever know that Christians are grateful people." Well, as far as the Bible is concerned, a thankless Christian is a contradiction in terms. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as someone who is like Christ who is ungrateful. The Bible tells us to rejoice with a glad and thankful heart. Take just a few of these verses for example. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 3 tells us, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And how can we forget Psalm 107? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever." Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about how we ought to have an attitude of gratitude toward the Lord. We must not be thankless people, but we must be thankful people. A few minutes ago, we sang a song from the hymnal, number 8, "Rejoice." And David rightly pointed out in that moment that song, that hymn, is taken from the passage Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and following. And so what I would like to do at this moment in time, if we could, is I would like to have yet another responsive reading. And so the words will be on the screen, which we've... that's the problem. David, thank you. Since we didn't use lyrics for our songs this morning, the TV at the back is not on, and I just thought that Laura had fallen asleep or something. You know, I didn't know. But it'll come up. But yeah, let's do a responsive reading. You'll see that the first is in normal size and font. The second portion of each verse is in an italicized bolded font, and that's what I want you to read. But can I just say something here? If I'm saying rejoice in the Lord always, I really don't want you to say, "And again I say rejoice." I want to hear some gusto. Okay? You ready? Let's do this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I say rejoice.
That was good. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving,
let your requests be made known to God.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, as we start back in this series in the Gospel of Luke, we have come to the place in the Gospel where it once again reminds us that Jesus was on his way toward Jerusalem. The ESV expository commentary mentions that as readers, we may have forgotten that Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. But Luke reminds us of the journey in verse 11. This is a literary and theological motif instead of a direct journey to Jerusalem. Though, of course, Jesus does end up in Jerusalem. You see, Jesus is making this roundabout trip on his way to Jerusalem. In fact, we noted in the last portion of this series that he was in Bethany, which if you know your Bible geography, Bethany's really close to Jerusalem. Now we find him up on the border of Samaria and Galilee, which is quite a far distance, relatively speaking, especially if you're walking everywhere you're going. And so this isn't a direct let's get there, kind of like what we always do with our trips. But, you know, when this roundabout journey started back in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, the Bible says that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. You see, Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what the end of his life was going to be like. He knew the purpose. He knew the plan. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he was ready to do it. So he set his face toward Jerusalem. And so three times through this section, which I'm referring to as the mission and the teaching of Christ, it started in chapter 9, verse 51, and it's still going here in chapter 17, and will continue going all the way through chapter 19. But this section of the mission and teaching of Christ starts in that moment and goes all the way up until Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, when we have the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, the start of the last week of Jesus' physical life here on earth. So our goal, well, this, because this is such a long section of scripture, like I said, that started in chapter 9, the second section started in chapter 13, and we studied that last year, and so now we're going to start in chapter 17, verse 11, and our goal is to complete this section of the mission and teaching of Christ this summer. And then next year, we're going to pick up this study again to consider the passion and the triumph of Christ from Luke chapters 19 through 24, which will complete our study through the Gospel of Luke. Now, to this point in our study through the Gospel, we have 53 sermons available for this study on our website. I'm not exactly sure how that has happened. I'm going to have to go and do a little research, because there have been 56 sermons preached in these series, but Somehow three of them got lost. Maybe we can find them. I don't know. But we've got 53 sermons available. So if you have missed out on some of this study on Gospel of Luke and you want to catch up on that, the easiest way to find them would be to go to our website, to the sermon archives, and filter it by the sermon series. And that sermon series is called Luke in the Steps of the Savior. And if you click on that, it will bring up all those sermons, all 53 of the 56 sermons, and you can go through and listen to those. They are listed from the newest to the oldest, so you'd have to go to the end and work your way backwards. But if you're interested in that and you need some help, feel free to contact me. But like I said, we're studying this last part of the mission and teaching of Christ for the next 3 months. And I know that many of you will have to miss at one point in time or another in over the summer. And so I'll do my best to get the podcast and website updated by Sunday afternoon. Or, of course, you can always watch that on our Facebook live stream. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Luke chapter 17. And let's read these nine verses, in Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, as we explore this passage today, we notice that authentic faith is the catalyst that we see here for a genuine display of gratitude in this man's heart. We see the compassion that Christ had for all of these men. I mean, do you understand what leprosy is and what it does to the body? It's a skin disease that basically eats away the flesh down to the bone, and then the bones fall off and you end up with hands with no fingers or feet with no toes. Or parts of the face will fall off because of this absolutely gross and disgusting disease called leprosy. Can you imagine as they're standing there crying out to Jesus and he says, go show yourself to the priest. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but what they must have been dealing with was such a miserable existence. And yet Jesus, because of his compassion, healed all 10 of those men. There may have been a change in their bodies, but there was only one whose heart was changed and softened by the mercy of God. And so this is why I've referred to this message as authentic faith brings genuine gratitude. Let's look at 4 simple points this morning. The first is found in verses 12 and 13, and that is the outcry of the 10 lepers. The outcry of the 10 lepers. Now, if you had leprosy, you could not approach people. You could not interact with people. You could not go into town. You had to keep your distance because Levitical law dictated that you had to do such. And so if you'll notice here, it says he was met by 10 lepers, but they stood at a distance away from Jesus. And they cried out with a loud voice. They lifted up their voices, it says. By the way, the two Greek words that go together to make this concept of lifting up your voice is the same words that we get our English word megaphone from. It's phonos megas. And so it was like they were using a megaphone, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Can you imagine living in a situation like that? Or even, can you imagine living in the first century? In first century Palestine, what would life have been like? How many of you, and there may be a few here, but how many of you have had to live a portion of your life where you had to go to a well and draw water so you'd have water every day? Few hands. Does anyone want to go back to that time? You know? I mean, I felt like I was roughing it at church camp this week, you know? If you'd seen the young men from another church that slept across from me, you would agree that I was probably roughing it at church camp this week. But again, thank you, men, for your consideration there. But living in the first century, life was not easy. There was nothing about life that was easy. They had no conveniences. But to live life in the first century with a skin disease where you were constantly, every part of your body was irritated and open wounds, and trying to keep that clean in those kind of circumstances. These lepers were truly crying out, "Have mercy on us, God." Because what we're dealing with is so absolutely miserable. So they lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." What did Jesus do? It says, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Jesus didn't even get close to them. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened this way. Jesus didn't have to go lay hands on them. Jesus didn't have to wave it, you know. He didn't have to do anything like that. Sometimes he did, but he didn't have to. If you remember, other miracles that he did, he just said, "Go." They're healed. And they get back home and they find out that they were healed at that time of day, immediately when Jesus said that. He didn't have to be close to them. From a distance, he just says, "Okay, go and show yourself to the priest." Now, why did he tell them that? Well, again, Levitical law dictated that if a person had leprosy, or if they had any sort of skin disease, and you know, if you've not read the book of Leviticus lately, you know, you should read that. There's a lot of interesting things about Levitical law and skin diseases in there. And I am saying that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but it was very carefully plotted out by the Lord in this to keep his people healthy. And so they had all of these rules, and they had to go and show themselves to the priest. And if it was a certain way, then they would look at it this week, and they'd say, "Come back next week, let's look at it again. Has it gotten worse?" And so there was this whole process in Jewish law that required them to do this. And so here are these men who are covered in leprosy, and Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." What did the men do? Well, we see that the healing of the 10 lepers happened as they turned and they went. Jesus told them to go, and so they went. and they were healed, the scripture tells us, as they were going. Verse 14, and as they went, they were cleansed. But then it says, one of them, when he saw what happened. Well, before we get that, what do you think the other nine of them did when they saw what had happened? There were 10 men who came to Jesus, but only one came back to say thank you. What do you think happened to the other nine? Were they ungrateful? You know, I've got to think in my mind, if this were me, I would be grateful no matter what, right? But what happened to them? You know, there's something in my mind that just tells me they got so excited about being healed that they had 100,000 other things that they wanted to do. Can I just say that in our lives today, God blesses us in so many different ways. All the time, day by day, multiple times throughout the day. And yet, we have so many other things that we have in our mind that needs to be done that we don't take the time to turn back to the Lord and say, thank you. Are you guilty? I don't know about you, but I think probably many of you were like, my wife and I last night, as you were watching the storms on the radars coming in, and you're praying, God, your will be done, but we sure hope your will doesn't include a tornado coming through our city again this year. You know? My daughter is, she's celebrating her birthday this weekend, and so she went on a trip, and where she was, those storms were passing through as well. And I can assure you that this daddy was praying that, God, would you please not allow that storm to hit where she is? I mean, she's a smart girl, but, you know, I'm not there. I'm not there to help if necessary. So I was praying, God, do that. And you know what? As I watched the, after the fact, watched the radar go over where her cabin is up in the woods that she's staying in. Did you know it stayed green the whole time, but those red and yellow portions just split on each side and then came back together over it. I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. You know? How many times do we not take the time to say thank you? Oh, well, that was just a coincidence, Brother Wade. No. The Lord's in control. Did he do it because of my prayer? I'm not saying that. But the Lord's in control. He knows what he needs to happen. Even the wind and the waves obey his voice. And so as Jesus cried out back to these men and said, go show yourself to the priest. What Jesus was saying to them is, you're healed. Go and check it out. All 10 of them were healed. And yet only one showed any display of gratitude. Let's look at the gratitude of the one leper. Verse 15 says, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back and he was praising God with a loud voice. I don't remember when it was. A couple weeks ago, I was not preaching, and so I sat back there in the back. And part of the issue was it was when Brother Ron was preaching, and I was recovering from my surgery, and the intubation tube from the surgery has just wreaked havoc on my voice. I've not really been able to sing much at all lately. And that Sunday, Pastor David let us in, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And Pastor John was up in the sound booth, and he said, well, there's Wade, because apparently I got enough voice and they could hear me up there quite clearly in that moment. There are some moments in time where when you're praising God and it means something to you in a special way, for whatever reason that might be, when it means something to you, you cry out, you sing out with a loud voice, with a joyful noise. Doesn't mean you have to be a beautiful singer. It just means that you're excited to praise the Lord. That's what happened here. Praising God with a loud voice. But then notice what that leper did next. When he got back to Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Now the scripture tells us, now he was a Samaritan. What does that matter? Well, Samaritans were a mixed breed. If you remember your history of Israel, when the children of Israel went back into the promised land, they divided the promised land into 12 different tribes of people. And kings, they went through all of the time of the judges, and then they got a king, and King Saul was rejected by God, and King David came to the throne, and then Solomon, his son, came to the throne, and then his son Rehoboam was not real wise in taking over for his dad and split the kingdom into two. And so you had the southern kingdom that Rehoboam was the king of, and the northern 10 tribes became what was known as Israel, where Jeroboam was the king. Why do I tell you all that? Well, those northern 10 tribes never really drove out the people around them. And because they didn't want to go back to Jerusalem to worship, they made their own places of worship in the north. And they started incorporating all these pagan worship practices from the people around them. And they intermarried with those people, and they became Samaritans, a mix between Jews and Gentiles. By this point in time, several hundred years later, the Samaritans and the Jews hated one another because of that tension that goes all the way back to King Solomon's son Rehoboam and King Jeroboam of the northern 10 tribes. So he was a Samaritan, a man of mixed race, a man who worshiped God, but all these other gods as well. And yet he fell on his face and thanked Jesus for healing him of this leprosy. Now there's more that we could look at here, but I want us to focus our last moments here on verse 19 and the salvation of the one leper. Jesus questioned him, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the rest? We could talk about that, but let's just focus now on 19. Jesus said, get up, go on your way. And it says, your faith has made you well. That verb in the original language, made you well, is the exact same word in the original that sometimes is translated into the English as your faith has saved you. Same concept. Made you well, made you whole. It has saved you. This man's salvation through faith is what gave him the heart of gratitude that he had. That's why I said at the beginning of this, authentic faith brings genuine gratitude. So here's where we are. What is your disposition on a daily basis? What's your attitude like when it comes to the things that happen in your life, to you, around you? Do you give thanks in all circumstances? Or do we grumble? Again, as we were at camp this week, I was getting ready to teach my class. I believe it was Wednesday morning. Now I was going into the auditorium where the adult class meets, and I was walking in there, and there were two ladies, not from Temple Church, is the good news. There were two ladies there in the foyer that, as I was doing a few things there in the foyer area, I heard each of them, one worse than the other, but each of them share multiple things that were bad about what was happening in their life as a result of being at church camp. I mean, they were complaining about the beds, they were complaining about the food, they were complaining. Yeah, Jeff, the food was great, wasn't it? Yeah. They were complaining that they put too much cheese on top of the macaroni and cheese and it was hard to serve. Believe it or not, who's going to complain about too much cheese on macaroni and cheese? I don't know. Why do I share that? If we are truly, genuinely, authentically believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our lives should be filled, I guess is the easiest way to put it. Our lives should be filled with gratitude. Why are we grumbling? I read earlier, verse after verse after verse, that tells us that Christians who are thankless is a contradiction in terms. If you don't know this by heart, would you memorize 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18? Three verses, but it's only about 20 words. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 20 words. Wow, I guessed at that, by the way. 20 words. Give thanks in all circumstances. We need to learn from this leper, this Samaritan. We need to learn to give thanks to the Lord. Because authentic faith will always bring about an attitude of gratitude in our lives. Folks, if you do not have an attitude of gratitude, maybe you need to check your heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this simple message that's showing the reason for us to show thanks to you. Lord, you have healed us if we've trusted in your Son as our Savior. You've made us whole. You've saved us from our sin. And Lord, we know every circumstance that you throw our way is here in our lives to conform us to the image of your Son. Use those things, and Lord, help us to have an attitude of gratitude as you send those things our way. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.